The Photography Podcast on photography.ca, episode number 30, how to use a reflector, with a new segment, Photo of the Week. Hey there, photo lovers. How's it going? And welcome to the 30th Photography Podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco. We are coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. And today is October 15, 16, something like that, 2007. Well, I can't believe it, but this is actually our 30th show. And I looked this up on the net, and typically gifts for, you know, anniversaries in the 30 are pearls. So although I'm not into pearls, my wife is probably very much into pearls. So if you're into buying my wife pearls, it's all good. It's all cool. And send me an email at photography.ca@gmail.com and I'll tell you where to send the pearls. But all kidding aside, I hope this show will be a pearl of a show. And we're going to talk about something that's pretty important and pretty basic in all types of photography. And that's using reflectors and how to use a reflector properly. Well, reflectors. What can we use for a reflector? A reflector, which reflects light, obviously, can be anything. You can use any type of whiteboard or any type of reflective surface whatsoever. On occasion, in an emergency, I've used loose leaf paper. I've used anything. You can use the inside of a cigarette pack if you need to, even though I don't smoke. But it's a really important tool to use. And what a reflector does, basically, is it adds light to areas of shadow. So an easy way to imagine this is, let's say you have someone just standing there outside, and for whatever reason, the light is coming totally from the side. So the sun is setting, and the person, one side of the person's face is facing the sun, well, the other side is going to be in shadow. Now, if you wanted to bring that side of the face out of the shadow a little bit, what you would do is you would use a reflector. So it kind of makes sense that way, and it's an easy example to illustrate why a reflector would be good. Now, another reason to use a reflector is that you don't necessarily want to destroy the natural pattern of light that's there. So, you know, if the scene is a bit dark, let's say you want to light a person, and, you know, their face is a bit dark and you want to light them, you could just say, well, why not use flash? Well, flash kind of destroys the natural light because it overpowers everything in sight. It overpowers the natural ambient light that might be there. So flash is not always a great thing to use. Sometimes it's a good thing to use, but not always. Not if you want to maintain the natural pattern of light that's already existing. How and when do I use reflectors? Well, typically I'll use reflectors in shady areas. So I'll place someone in the shade, and you know, the shade is really beautiful for portraits, you know, because the contrast is lower. Some film or some digital SLRs can't always handle the difference in contrast or the brightness range when using direct sunlight. So if I'm taking a portrait and I want it to be pretty pleasing, I'll often place the person in the shade. But by placing people in the shade, their eyes often don't have a lot of life to them. And that's where the reflector comes in. The reflector adds so much more life to their face and their eyes in particular that you're going to see. I've put up some examples on the blog. Always accord it with episode number 30 at photography.ca/blog. Go to episode 30 and you'll be able to see the differences, and they're huge differences. Even though like they're subtle, if you look closely, they're huge. So that's typically when I use a reflector. I use them all the time for portraits, you know, because I don't want my flash system, especially if I'm outdoors, to overpower the natural light. So I'll use a reflector and just open up the shadows as opposed to blasting them away with flash. If I'm in the studio, for instance, and you know, I have my flash system controlled perfectly, that's fine. Typically, I'll use two or three or four lights. So one will be my main light, creating the main light pattern. I'll have a second light filling in the shadows. But even in that case, it's not always necessary to use a fill light. You can use a reflector as a fill light as well. And it's a great thing to try. So, you know, let's say you're low on budget and you only have one light and you want to make do, or you want a certain effect. Even pros with unbelievable amounts of cash will often use reflectors as opposed to a secondary light because they really want to get a certain lighting pattern, and they don't need that much light. They just want to open up the shadows a wee little bit. So they'll often use reflectors. The key is always to play. If you've never used one, reflectors are so easy and so available in so many places. Any good or moderately professional photo store is going to have them. They're not that expensive. The kinds I like are collapsible. So they're these larger discs, maybe 30 inches in diameter is the one I use most, something like that, probably about 30, 36 inches in diameter. Diameter. And they collapse. So they're this large disc. And then when you want to put them away, you just like fold them up and they go into this pouch. And then they fold down into something like 12 inches in diameter. So, so handy. The ones that I have are typically two colored. And one side is silver and one side is white. So depending on the level of reflectivity that you want to add to your subject, you can use either side. The silver one is obviously more reflective than the white one. But sometimes, depending on how much ambient light, I often use the white one because I don't want to blow away my subject with the reflectivity. I just want to add a little bit of light. So really, it's up to you to play. You know, and playing is the easiest way to learn. Take a shot without the reflector, just like I did on the blog, and then add some reflectivity in there. If you buy one of these collapsible reflectors, try the silver side, then try the white side. You know, see the difference. Also, another one that I have a much smaller one also, super portable, and that one is maybe, I don't know, like 6 inches in diameter when folded up, and maybe, I don't know, like 10 or 12 inches in diameter when expanded. Amazing. It's so portable, so handy. And one of those sides is golden. So it adds warmth to the scene. So if you're on a really cool day or you're shooting in a really cool day, meaning there's a lot of blue reflecting from the light, you know, you take your shot, especially if you're with a digital camera, you could see the effects right away. You know, you haven't white balanced your camera. Well, we'll talk about that in another episode. And you just look at the results. If they're cool, meaning bluish, and if you reflect with a warm toned reflector, you're going to really warm up the scene, and it's very, very, very pleasing, especially in portraits. And of course, you don't necessarily need to use them only for portraits. A lot of people use reflectors when they shoot still lives. You know, a great example is just flowers. There's so many people shooting flowers these days. It's so easy to do, especially now with digital photography, that, you know, you'll take a picture of a flower and you'll see that there might be some darker areas in the shot. And if you just use a little bit of reflectivity from a reflector, you'll open up that shadow area. And very, very often the effect is super, super pleasing, and you're happier with the results when you use a reflector. Again, always play, always try. So now on to my particular shots. For my particular shots, I used my wife, Carmi, as a model, the lovely Carmi, and I also used Ziglet as a model, my lovely cat Ziglet. And basically all I did was I didn't have an assistant. Using a reflector works even better when you have an assistant. So you have one person holding the reflector, and then you, the photographer, are able to shoot. But I didn't have an assistant with me. It was just some down and dirty quick shots just to show the difference between using a reflector and not using a reflector. So basically, I put my camera to a higher shutter speed so that I wouldn't shake much. I shot with one hand while the other hand held the reflector. And basically what I did was I took a shot with the reflector, without the reflector, and then I backed up. I was using a 28 to 75 lens, so I put it on the wider side, and then I actually took a shot of my hand shooting the scene with the reflector so you could see how the shot was done. Really, really useful for learning. And I did the same thing with my cat Ziglet. One shot with reflector, one shot without, and then one shot with my wife, actually, this time, holding the reflector in place, lighting up Ziglet, my cutie Siamese cat. You'll notice in these shots that I didn't pay too much attention to the background and setting it up perfectly and making it like a postcard shot. These are just down and dirty, quick shots. I did them really quickly in a matter of minutes, and you can still totally, totally see the great effects that the reflector has. And I think this is going to do it for this 30th anniversary podcast episode. And I hope you learned a lot from it. And I'm going to edit this sucker real, real soon. I'm going to do the introduction and conclusion. And I'm going to try and get this live within a day or so. So I've already taken the shots. I'm going to edit everything now. And You'll be hearing the conclusion in a few seconds from now. So thanks for listening, everyone. Speak to you soon. Bye for now.
And so I hope you enjoyed that little primer on how to use reflectors, and I hope you got some useful information. One thing that I forgot to mention, actually, was how to hold the reflector. And there's no hard and fast rules, which is probably why I didn't give anyone specific angles to hold it at. I guess it really all depends on where the light is coming from. If you remember a couple episodes ago, I think it was episode 28, Dominic Fizzotto, a great wedding photographer here in Montreal, mentioned that he uses reflectors pretty often, and he likes to hold a reflector from the bottom. And you could tell in the shot that I did with my wife Carmi, I kind of did the same thing. But then when I shot Ziglet, Carmi was holding the reflector from this side. It really depends on where the light is coming from and how you want to angle the light. As mentioned in the podcast, just play. Just keep playing. You know, do tests and find out what works for you. Find out what works for you under different lighting conditions. Play around, take some shots, and compare. So now I'd like to get into the first segment that I'm going to try like this. It's an experimental thing. We can try new stuff. Why the heck not? And I'd like to kind of talk about one photograph per podcast. So scouring the net every single podcast, I thought it might be useful just to talk about one photograph that I like. And that way people can kind of get an impression of maybe what makes a good photograph, according to Marco anyway. So, you know, I thought I'd kind of choose some photographs, one each podcast, and talk about why I like them so much. And for this first one, I'd like to talk about a photograph taken by Arkady Renko. And he's a pretty prolific photographer on Flickr. He takes a lot of shots on Flickr. And that's where I found his photograph. And thanks, Arkady, for letting me use this great photograph. So if you're just listening to this, you're going to want to make your way to the blog, episode number 30, www.photography.ca/blog. Find your way to episode 30 and you could see Arkady's great photograph. His photograph is actually a photograph of a person walking down a dock into water. And it's fantastic. I love this photograph. And why do I love this photograph? I love it because it tells a story, or it suggests a story, which is one of my most favorite things for photographs to do. Sometimes when you're taking pictures of flowers or something, it doesn't necessarily tell a story, but this graphic type image really suggests a story, and I totally appreciate that. Why else do I like the photograph? Well, it kind of follows the great composition elements following the rule of thirds that we mentioned back in podcast number 23. So you could see that a lot of the important elements of this scene follow the rule of thirds, meaning if you break the photograph down, the important elements are placed on those thirds. Check out podcast number 23 if you're not familiar with it. So it follows the rule of thirds. It also has great leading lines. And again, that we talked about in podcast number 22. So the lines in the photograph guide your eye really toward the person walking down the dock, and it really has a great focal point. I also like the fact that the top two-thirds of the photograph are really just sky until the horizon. It's unusual. Most people fill the photograph with all kinds of elements, which is a totally acceptable thing to do, but Arkady in this photograph and in many other photographs of his, I'm going to put a link, of course, so you can check out his work. He has a lot of minimalist shots where he uses a lot of white space, and it's a very, very interesting thing to do. I totally appreciate it. Also, the photograph has an element of grain to it. It's quite grainy, and some people hate grain, but this totally adds for me in this particular shot. The grain is another interesting element, and it kind of helps fill out the white space as well. So that's my first review, my first praise of what I want to call a photograph of the week. And I'm going to be doing one of these each podcast. So I hope you enjoyed that little review. And I hope you also appreciate Arkady's photo. As always, you can leave comments about the podcast and perhaps my review of Arkady's photo. I hope you like it. A lot of people on Flickr seem to love it. So it's not just myself that thinks it's a fantastic photo. So as always, to leave comments, you can do so via the blog, www.photography.ca/blog. Just make your way to episode 30 and you can comment on anything we've spoken here. You can suggest new topics for podcasts and it'll be more than my pleasure to cover them for you. I believe our next one is a suggestion by Cindy. Not going to give it away, but we'll probably do it next one or the time after that. And as always, if you'd like to send me some email, you can do so at photography.ca@gmail.com. You can subscribe very easily using any podcatcher of choice. You can subscribe in iTunes. You can subscribe via Google Reader. And if you don't know what the heck I'm talking about, just send me an email, photography.say@gmail.com, and it'll be more than my pleasure again to let you know how to subscribe so that you'll get all of these podcasts automatically when they're released. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great week. We'll be back with you real soon. And in the meantime, keep on shooting. Bye for now.